Good afternoon. Well, in our last talk, we read from this journal, and I believe the last entry was November of 2009, and it said, "We are told no one has ever seen man with his eyes, because man is invisible, and our real existence is as spirit. Therefore, I am not on earth." Very interesting, isn't it? Something to really look at and contemplate and delve into. At least it is for me. I see that, I hear that, and I want to know, where am I? Where am I standing? I, that's in the midst of this so-called me. Me that was appeared to be born, and me that appears to die. There's an I standing in the midst of him. There's an I standing in the midst of her, if you're a her, if this me is a her. I in the midst of me. Where is that I standing? You can't see it with your eyes because I am invisible. And the real existence is not this me covered in flesh. It's an invisible spirit. I am invisible spirit. I am not standing on earth, and yet I am in the midst of me. Very strange, isn't it? Very strange. So that was the last entry for 2009, and then 2010 rolled by, and there was only one entry. Three lines. You can only see the non-reality of error while standing in the presence of Christ. And I know we read that last time, but it actually came and I found it in my notes in 2010. If you're standing in I, you can see the non-reality of me. But you must be standing in the conscious awareness of I. It always comes down to the conscious awareness, which is the same as the consciousness. God is consciousness. Conscious awareness. If you are consciously aware of I, you're standing in God. Then, from that vantage point, standing in God, you can see the non-reality of me. Whenever Joel went into meditation for a healing, he disregarded the me out here, and then he disregarded the me that appeared to be sitting in a chair. And he concentrated, remember, he always started with the word God, so that he might come into the conscious awareness of I, or the consciousness of I, or I, God consciousness. And standing there, or resting there, or floating there, or being there, he could look and see the non-reality of me, whatever me was presenting itself to him. And seeing the non-reality, having the conscious awareness of I, the belief was dissolved, and in its place I stood and stand revealed. And that's what he did every single time. But he did it so often that, like Brother Lawrence, he could not tell when his prayers began and when they stopped. I heard him very plainly. He could be watering the grass or swimming in the ocean or even taking a bite to eat. And at the same time, he was standing in eye. How do you do that? How do you live a double life? So out here, you're fulfilling your responsibilities and obligations, and yet within yourself, you're standing in eye. There's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. I remember calling Herb and asking him about that. And always the answer seems to be the same. Rather than a direct, here's what you have to do, it seems to be practice these principles and discover it for yourself. There is a way to stand in I, and all of these things are added. So, on to May of 2011. Again, only one entry for the whole year. Not that there wasn't other realizations, but this one was deep, and it caused me to pause and write it down. There is no dominion over this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Christ has dominion over its own universe. My kingdom. Christ has dominion over Christ itself. Yes, how could Christ have dominion over a kingdom that's non-existent? It's an utter impossibility. God is not in the human scene. The human scene is not a reality. Oh yes, it's very real as an experience, but it is not reality. Now, I was looking at this book by Joel, The Mystical Eye. We're talking a lot about standing in the conscious awareness of I, rather than standing in the conscious awareness of me. He says here in the very first chapter, I stand at the door and knock. Who is this I standing at the door? And at what door is I standing? And he's in agreement with us. At what door but the door of your own consciousness? I stand at the door of your consciousness and knock. But you must open the door and admit me. For I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection. And I am come that you might have life, my life, and life more abundantly. By now, we all know it's not enough to walk around with the statement of truth, saying to myself 300 times a day, I am the way, I am come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. I did that in the early days, and some of you may have too. There's nothing wrong with it. That's called working with the letter of truth, and that's what a beginning student does. Because the beginning student does not have the consciousness of I, they have statements of truth about I. And so we dwell in John's revelation. We dwell in the things that John received within his inner realizations. Or we dwell in Herb's inner realizations, or Bill's inner realizations, or Virginia's, or Alan's. Perhaps we dwell in the inner realization of Arjuna, or in the Bhagavad Gita, the inner realization of Krishna and his mother Kali. We don't yet have our own, but that's okay, because working with the letter, we reach a place in our contemplation, in our knowing statements of truth, where that comes to an end. We don't force it to an end or push our way into it. We just naturally come to an end. And there's a moment of no effort. There's a moment where we're not trying to do anything or know anything. There's a moment where we are absolutely still. What is that moment? That is the moment when you open the door of your consciousness to receive the living I. Not a dead I that existed 2,000 years or 4,000 or 10,000 years ago. The living I, alive in this second, in this moment, in your consciousness. You receive the living I. It startles you for a moment. What was that? What was that? You know it wasn't a thought. You've had thoughts before. You know it wasn't an imagination. You've had dreams before. Something, you felt something. It's more on the level of felt than it is on the level of thought. I felt something. What was that? Seemed to be an inner... Something moved within. I felt it. You're not sure it was real. If you have a teacher, perhaps you tell the teacher. You share with your teacher. Hey, I think I finally had that experience Joel talks about. If your teacher's worth his salt or her salt, teacher will handle your little revelation, your pearl, with respect and carefully tell you, yes, that's the pearl. One of the many pearls which you will experience as the years begin to go by. You have admitted that I into your consciousness. Admitted life eternal, says Joel, the bread of life, the water of life, the wine of life. You have admitted into your consciousness the power of resurrection. When you acknowledge that that I in the midst of you is mighty, you are not speaking of a man or any person, you are speaking of I. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that the name of God is I, and that you are the temple of God? Only when you have admitted I into your consciousness and held it there, secretly, sacredly, gently, peaceably, so that at any moment you can close your eyes and just remember I. You see, again, you hear the words of your own inner I. Have I been so long a time with you, and you have not known me? This is I speaking, the living I, not a dead I in a book or a Bible. The living I, alive, this moment, the eternal I. And you have admitted it by your surrender of the me in your meditation. Later you learn with eyes open to be surrendered. You learn to walk and talk and even take care of responsibilities with no me doing it. It is I in the midst. The first time it happened to the disciples, they were afraid. And it is kind of startling the first time. You remember? They were out at sea, which is a symbol of being in consciousness. The sea is consciousness. And there's a storm. I've got this problem, that problem. I'm in danger. There's me's, a lot of little me's tossed back and forth. Suddenly walking on that consciousness, suddenly someone, you, opens the door and emits the I. And here it comes, walking on the top of that consciousness, walking across it. And it's so startling. Oh my God, what is that? What was that? And if we're quiet, we hear, "It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. I have come. Peace. Be still. It is I." Says Joel, "This I that is in the midst of me is life eternal. This I that is within me is he that is mighty." Now, all this was just one entry in 2011. 2012 was a little bit busier. I don't know why. These things are a mystery. But in January of 2012 came this. "In the beginning was the Word." And you know what the Word was, don't you? The Word is I, of course. Same I that we've been discussing. Hopefully better than that, the same I that you have been admitting in consciousness. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word appeared as flesh." It hasn't changed its nature or its substance. It is still the Word. You don't want a healing of some physical ailment. So stop even thinking in that direction. You want a silence so deep that it is an invitation like Joel's, "Let my silence be thy dwelling place." And you want to admit the I, the eternal living I. It's here now in the midst of you. But you must be consciously aware of it. Not just think of it, but feel its movement. Be consciously aware of I. That I reveals the nothingness of good or evil, of health or sickness. It reveals the nothingness of wealth or lack, the nothingness of companionship or loneliness. In short, it reveals the nothingness of this world and the allness of eternal living I. And so you do not want a healing, and you do not want increased abundance. You want the experience of the inner I. And you don't want a companion. You want the companion, the I, in the midst of you, consciously felt. And then 3 months later, in April of 2012, we had this. First, the presence is felt in consciousness. Then, it appears as form in the mind. Yes, that's the whole essence of it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. First you feel that inner I. You have a consciousness of it. You have God consciousness, I consciousness. And then it appears as form in the mind. Now, in Joel's words, he says, when you hold the word I in your consciousness, but not just the word I, but the awareness of I in your consciousness, no evil can come nigh your dwelling place, and even though you are crucified, you will be resurrected. If the temple of your body is destroyed, In 3 days, I will build it up again. I will build it. Not the personal sense of I, but I will build it up again. Your little I must be still, so that I, in the midst of you, can perform its mighty works. You see that? But what is it doing? Is this I in the midst of you? Is it putting together some business deal for you? Is it attracting the perfect companion after all these years? Is it bringing you to a discovery of how you can become well? No, those are all mental images. Now they're good images instead of bad images. In your meditation, you don't want any images. You want only the experience of I. Then, when you open your eyes, yes, the mind interprets that I. And it interprets it as harmony, abundance, fulfillment, joy, peace, health, life, liberty. Where the consciousness of I is liberty. Where the Spirit of God is, that's their way of saying it, the ancients, they did not have that word consciousness, so they couldn't say where you have the conscious awareness of I, harmony, appears, so they said it in their words, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you see? It's not the Spirit of Lord that gives you your freedom. It's your conscious awareness of that presence. Your conscious awareness is God. Because your consciousness is God, and those two are the same. Conscious awareness and consciousness. If you're only consciously aware of this three-dimensional world and all the people and all the little me's in it, if you're only consciously aware of good and evil, what do you have? You have world consciousness, don't you? World mind. But if you're consciously aware of I in the midst of you, you have God consciousness. The consciousness of God, the conscious awareness of God, of I, the living I. If you only have the conscious awareness of this world, you are under the law of this world, all the laws of this world. But if you have the conscious awareness of I in the midst of you, you are under grace. It's not that suddenly God gives you his grace. It's that you make the inner transformation from living under this world consciousness to living under God consciousness. You're the one that made the transformation. I stand at the door and knock. I have always knocked. Since before this world was, the glory that I had with you before the world was. Well, now, how about after the world was? What do I have? I have the same glory. See that? You determine, not God. It's very strange. You determine by not being you anymore. Very strange, isn't it? Hence, Don telling me you're going to have to learn how to stand up and sit down at the same time. All right, so, looking again, in July of 2012, I had a dream. In a dream, I asked Joel Goldsmith, how could I, the person, come up higher? How can I come up higher, Joel? I really want to come up higher. And Joel said, concerning the person, you haven't got one. And then he turned around and walked away. I'm asking him very sincerely, I mean it. Joel, how can I progress? How can I come up higher? I want to go deeper. What do I need to do? And he says to me, You? You haven't got one. And walks away. And over standing next to me was a part of his entourage, one of the ladies, and she said, Would you like to have lunch with us? And when I could speak again, I said, Yes, please. That's all I could say. And I followed her to have lunch. Now, you have to realize what that feels like, what that inner realization was like. I'm very sincere. Me, Bill. I'm standing there before Joel. Here's Bill, and I'm standing before Joel. Joel, what do I need to do? What can I do so that I can come up higher? Quite frankly, you haven't got one. And he turns around and walks away, and my mouth is open. He's just shocked me out of that self. And because I've stepped out of that self for a moment, I'm invited to the feast. The feast. The lunch. The luncheon. I'm invited to the feast with them. The feast of I. To live on I. Stop trying to progress. You haven't got one. And if you succeed in stepping out of that, even if you're shocked out of it, then you can join us at the feast of Christ, this living I. When I first started these talks over 10 years ago, in the very first one, I said to you, and it was revealed to me, while I said it, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it is a false self and was not made by God. It was not made. If you heard that, it shocked you for a moment out of that mind. And if you were fortunate, you felt something. Something not me. Something called I. Something you can't define, understand, even remember. Something you can't explain, you can't write about, you can't read about. Something you can only experience in your inner temple when you have, as Joel says, opened the door of your consciousness. He says, the message of the infinite way is wholly dedicated to admitting the presence of Christ into consciousness and letting it transform us from the human sense of me to the spiritual sense of I. Not merely changing a bad human scene into a good human scene. No. Our interest is not in that direction. Our interest is in surrendering the entire material sense, even when it is good, and receiving in exchange the divine, eternal I in our midst. In Joel's words, or in the words that were revealed in the middle of the night to him on a scroll with gold letters, that sense which presents these pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence. It must be understood there is no more reality to harmonious human existence than to discordant world conditions. So this world, be it inharmonious, destructive, diseased, deformed, lacking, limited, lonely, none of that has anything to do with reality. That is what he is calling mesmerism or mesmeric suggestion. We can also call it world consciousness or world mind or thoughts about the world, world thoughts. But what about when I get a raise? I'm thinking about Christ. I'm having a meditation. I feel an inner movement. I open my eyes. I go to work and the boss says, I've decided to double your income. And on the way home, I decide to take a bus ride instead of walking. And on the bus, I meet a pretty nice lady. And turns out she's into spiritual things. In fact, she has a copy of Practicing the Presence. And we agree to meet at the library and maybe have a lunch. What about when, these allergies were really bothering me and I forgot to take my medicine and, oh gosh, I haven't felt them in over a month. Are these things, are you going to tell me that these beautiful things, this wonderful person, this newfound health, this raise out of the blue, are these things, isn't this a demonstration? No, in the infinite way, that is not a demonstration, because he just told us here there's no more reality to these harmonious things than to the inharmonious things. Well, what am I supposed to just devalue them and say they're not worth anything? No. I'm perfectly free to enjoy breathing okay, meeting a new person, and having a new sense of income. As long as, comma, I recognize that the reality is the invisible I that I entertained in my meditation. And these things out here are the mind's interpretation of that I. As long as I recognize I have no more demonstrations to make in this world, I have only one demonstration now, and that is to admit the I into consciousness. I stand at the door and knock. Now, says Joel, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. The promise does not say God will do what you would like to have done. The promise is that God will perform that which he has appointed for you. And since you cannot read God's mind, you must turn within and surrender. Not my will, but thine be done. Whatever it is that I am here and ordained to do, whatever thou hast for me, thou performest it within me and through me. Then take a period for listening, so that the Spirit may be upon you, or I may flow into your consciousness. You see that? That's the correct way to live. You don't hold up molds for God to fill. You stand aside and be a witness, be a beholder. He has emphasized that over and over again. And so, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the mind that wants to make demonstrations out here and has to make them over and over and over again? Or are you going to serve this I that you admit into your consciousness when me stands aside. Open your consciousness. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. Let this be repeated 10, 20, 30 times a day. And so there it is. In the first chapter of this book, I Stand at the Door, he recommends that you have 2 to 3 minutes of standing still and opening consciousness to the inner experience of the living I, the living I, 30 times a day. And in the middle of the night, if you are awakened, as we often are, do it until the Christ has so filled your consciousness, so filled every nook and cranny of your consciousness, that there is no room even for a remembrance of me. Then the Christ which you have admitted restores to you whatever it is that you have lost. Whether it's peace, harmony, health, abundance, happiness, companionship, all is restored, and in a more fulfilling way than you could ever imagine. Because heretofore you had these things only materially. Yes, you only had a material sense of them. Now you will have them spiritually. You'll have the spiritual sense of the invisible of these. And that means without limit and without harm or destruction to anybody. And now the Christ says within you, my peace I give unto you. That Christ speaks to you and says, my peace, spiritual peace, I give unto you, not the peace that the world can give. Yes. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that comes from an inner experience of the living I. That then appears out here to be things and people and places. But you will rest in the feeling of the invisible inner I. And let it manifest. And so, that was all that came through in 2012. In 2014, there was 2 entries. The first, two years later, after that inner realization of Joel Goldsmith saying, you haven't got one. I still haven't learned how to demonstrate you haven't got one. But I'm getting closer in the second entry. The real hypnotism is a sense of self only in the mind. Because you see, in reality, you haven't got one. Now, if you haven't got a self, a personal self, what demonstration is there for you to make? Only one. You have one demonstration to make. Knowing there is no self, you have no one to pray for. You have only to watch. Joel says, those who learn that I at the center of their being stand at the door of consciousness and knock, and furthermore, those who actually open their consciousness and let this I in, must then close their mouths. Always keep that I sacred and secret within yourself and watch your life be transformed. Now, that's very important, because if you have only the very first experience of this, oh my God, was that it? I just felt something. For a moment, I wasn't here. Me wasn't here, and I felt this. It was a, I have to call it a presence. It felt as if it was omnipresence. And if you go out and tell your neighbor that has no experience with this, and sometimes even your neighbor who has been to many, many classes but has only an intellectual understanding of this, it's sort of like hitting up against a rock. If you tell your teacher that has the depth of an understanding of this, it can be received and handed back as the precious pearl, the precious stone that it is. Stone cut out of the mountain without any hands, and handed back as the beautiful Christ, the eye within. And so it's imperative to you, especially in the beginning, before you've had this inner experience over and over, and it's become your consciousness in action, it's imperative that you keep it secret. You go down into Egypt, keep this child safe so that Herod or the thoughts of this world can't drown it out. Then it will grow, and the more experiences you have, it will grow, and it will grow. And it won't matter to you if the New York Times or the London Herald or Singapore Tribune says, we have discovered there's no God anywhere. It's all been a myth. You will be able to smile, a certain sad smile, but you'll be able to smile knowing that the God they do not know is one with which you commune on a daily basis, maybe 30 times a day. And so he says, if you admit me and abide in me, the I within you, then I am your safety, security, peace, meat, wine, water. Yes, I am then your life. Be ye transformed by a surrender of me and a bearing witness to I. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Where does this my peace come from except from I? And how would it come from I if I were not within you? I and thee, thou and me, as you abide in the conscious realization that I abide in you, you abide in me, and we are one. Then all that I, God, am, becomes your experience. All that I have becomes yours. All my peace is yours. My kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of the I that I am, my kingdom, the Christ kingdom, spiritual kingdom, is not of this world. And my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. My peace I give unto you, because I am within you, and you are within me, and we are one. All this is that I speaking to you, the very I that has been knocking at the door of your consciousness since before Abraham was. When you have admitted that I into your consciousness, then all the I that I is, you are, and all that I has is yours. Think of that. Think. At the very beginning, before Abraham, thousands and thousands of years, you had a consciousness, and I was knocking at the door of your consciousness, but you were busy. You had a little me you needed to live for, and a lot of little me's known as a family that you had to provide for and take care of. And you were so wrapped up in the me's, you never even felt an I. You never heard I. Slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, you may have had a spiritual experience. Perhaps you reached a point of desperation in the life of me, and you cried out, God, if there be a God, reveal yourself. And you had an experience. You felt something. You felt the I, this living I. It was living then, it's living now, it will live then. I forever. And you felt it. But the pull of the world and the gravity of it drew you back out here, and you forgot about I and went on living the life of me. And maybe you did some very nice things. Perhaps you performed in a philanthropic way. Maybe you gave something to humanity, or wrote a beautiful song, or painted a lovely picture, or built a beautiful bridge. Maybe you found a way to feed 500 instead of 5. Maybe you developed a new way of cultivation. Maybe you wrote a little poetry. Something reminding us that the real answers are within. But that was it. That's all you did. Then you came back, started a new life of me, and maybe this time you never even thought of I. Oh, you lived a very decent life, and you did good things, and you weren't a necessarily evil person, but you never even thought of I. And maybe the next life you came back and something was calling in you. You couldn't find an answer, so you settled for a deep religious life. And this time you went to temple every Saturday, or you went to church every Sunday, or you bowed down 5 times a day, or you turned the prayer wheel over and over, or whatever it was, you did it religiously. And though you spent time in the words of a master, and maybe you even loved the idea of God, still the experience did not come. Now more and more time has passed, more and more lifetimes. Here you are. Are you ready now? Before Abraham was, I was knocking at the door of your consciousness. Are you ready to admit the living I? Are you ready to be so silent that your silence becomes the dwelling place of the living I? Are you ready to be the temple of the living God? In my presence is fulfillment. In my presence is fullness of light. And as long as you have that presence lifted up in you, that is consciously realized, evil not only cannot come nigh your dwelling place, it cannot come nigh your entire world. We do not have to wait for 3 billion people to learn this truth to save the world. Just a little handful of us who are consciously aware of the living I in our midst can live with this I and face the world and watch the evils of the world dissolve. Watch the national, international enemies dissolve. But you also watch the appearance of good dissolve. And you will be standing on the shores of the eternal isness of I. Let us remember that this I that is knocking at the door of the entire world at this minute is begging to be admitted is God. What we must do, you and I, our little group, is to open the world to the presence of I. Open that door and say, come in, for in thy presence is peace. In thy presence is fulfillment. Open the door of your consciousness. Open the door of this universe and admit I. For this world is suffering from only one thing, the absence of the conscious awareness of I. And finally, open the door of your consciousness. Open the door of the consciousness of the world. Let the Father in. Watch. Watch the silent, sacred, secret influence as it permeates all human consciousness and eventually reveals peace. Peace will not come through man. Peace will not come through treaties out here. Peace will not come through armaments. And peace will not come through disarmament. Peace will come only through opening the door of consciousness and letting I, the Father, in. And so, you have now more of the journal entries together with the mystical eye. And I hope it's very, very clear to you that God's not going to move for you because you discover how to pray. God's not going to change and start flowing into your life because you discover the magic key. It's not that at all. That's a misunderstanding. Now I hope you know at this deepest part of you, hope you know in your consciousness, God is forever being the living I. And in your preparation, not only the many lifetimes you've lived, but the searching, honest, sincere searching you've done, reaching that place where you are ready to just give up, surrender, let go, stand still, listen, be receptive. Make no effort to know anything. Just stop. In that invitation, in that emptiness of the temple, in that cleansing of the inner temple, in that silence, which is the invitation to I, you feel it enter. I feel it. And now there's nothing to know. Thank you, Father. I, the living I, standing in consciousness, and I am aware of I. Now behold, I make all things new. I make all things appear anew. Stand ye still and see, I will make all things appear anew. In a moment ye think not, I come. Where I am, there is liberty. First, liberty from thought. Then liberty from thought forms. Then liberty from a human self, because you haven't got one. Behold, I have come that you might have the real life, the living life of I appearing, I formed, I made flesh and dwelling amongst you. Thank you so much for drawing this forth. I guess it just wasn't time, or it just was not to come forth at the classes here in North Carolina. It was to come forth after, or as a continuing class. Whatever. I know this. I come quickly. And thank you so much for drawing this forth. I, the invisible, living I, appearing as this talk, this message, this flow. Please, be not afraid. It is I. Blessings, blessings, blessings.